Again, I know we only did Ozbez yesterday, but I'm going to skip Gimel Dalet and Hey for now. Like I said, tomorrow hopefully we'll learn Avodas Yisrael. Oh, in terms of getting the Svarim, anyone who doesn't have the Sefer, I'm going to help you continue to work on that. And then Thursday we'll have Amir Tzashem, a special Tu B'Shvat, a Tu B'Shvat Shir. But we were talking yesterday how a Jew has to strive to be not only someone who does things that are holy, but that his very essence is holy. And we ended off with the words of the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, where he very honestly said, listen, you know, the goal of mitzvot is to help us to be successful, but there's certain areas that are very hard for us. And therefore Hashem reminds us, Ani Hashem Elokecha, and when you see yourself as connected to Hashem, so then you have a fighting chance. Okay, so Chavar, so let's go to Ozvav, and he starts off with the words of the Rambam. Ula'or ha'nizkar la'el. Yevuar Mashakasaf Harambam. Based on everything we've been learning about the role of Kedusha in the life of a Jew, so perhaps now we can better understand the Rambam, and we can ask a question that should bother us in a very simple way. And that is, the Rambam writes, Sof Hilchos Isurei Bia. The Rambam at the end of the laws of Isurei Bia, that's what this abbreviation is, Isurei Bia, forbidden relationships, Vizel Lashono. Ein lecha davar bechol haTorah kula, shu kasha lerov ha'am lifrosh, ela min ha'arayos. There is nothing that human beings struggle with. Again, that doesn't mean, you might say, I don't struggle so much with this inyan. So, then you're very blessed. Because the Rambam says, most human beings have a harder time separating from this than any other prohibition in the Torah. Right? You may have a strong taiva to eat a cheeseburger. You may have a taiva to drive your car on Shabbos. You may have a taiva to wear a suit with shatnas. Okay, but for most people, the biggest struggle, the Rambam says, there's nothing in the entire Torah that says kashe, is as difficult for most people to separate from, more so than arayos, than forbidden relationships. Lefichach roi lo la'adam lakof yitzro bedavar zeh. And therefore a person has to be really militant. Lakof means to suppress his yetzer hara, to fight it. Constantly, ulahargil atzmo b'kedusha yisera, and to strive for great levels of holiness, with the hope that if I'm a fighter, then maybe over the course of a lifetime I could actually, you know, achieve that reality of being a kadosh, va'anche kodesh tiyun li, like we learned yesterday, to be holy people. Again, not just people who do holy things, but to become really holy people. I want to share with you a quick story. And an insight that's really one of my favorite ideas. I've definitely shared it with some of you in the past, but for those who haven't heard it, it's an amazing insight. And for those who have heard it, in this context, it's very worthwhile to repeat. It comes from the Sefer Pnine Rabbeinu Yechezkel, which is a collection of teachings from Rabbi Yechezkel Abramsky. Rabbi Yechezkel Abramsky was a great Dayan and Rosh Yeshiva, passed away in the 1970s, 1976. He was in London and then in Yerushalayim. An amazing personality. We may actually mention him today in Gemara Shir also. Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky was his name. So he used to give, it says here in the Sefer, Pnine Rabbeinu Yecheskel, that he used to give a Parsha Shir. I assume this is in his years when he was in London. And he would give a Friday night Parsha Shir to young Jewish men who were not particularly connected to Yiddishkeit. And he would invite them, I don't know, to the shul, to his home, in order to try to be makariv for them. And he said one week, it was Parshas Kisetze, in Chumash Devarim, and all of a sudden he thought to himself, what am I going to explain this week? We're going to open up the Chumash, and you're going to see at the beginning of Parshas Kisetze, the description of what? Kitetze lamilchama oloivecha, when you go out to war against your enemies. And what does the Torah describe there that is so surprising and shocking? It describes the concept of the Eishes Yefas Tovar. However, what is the Eishes Yefas Tovar? The Eishes Yefas Tovar is this non-Jewish woman that a Jewish soldier sees on the battlefield. She's not Jewish, and he's attracted to her. And the Torah actually creates a mechanism by which he can what? Essentially fulfill his desire to be intimate with her. Yes, there's a series of steps that he needs to take, but it's very, very strange. Here we have this guy, he's on the battlefield, he sees a pretty non-Jewish girl, and he decides, I want to be with her. And the Torah says, okay, here's how you can, whoa, hold on a second. You were, like, 2 years ago, you were in yeshiva. And now you're on the battlefield and you see a non-Jewish girl and the Torah is coming up with roundabout ways to allow you to sleep with her. This is the Torah. And Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky was so bothered by it because part of what he was trying to instill within these young men is that Torah teaches us to have self-control, not to give in to our every whim and desire. And now all of a sudden you open up the Chumash and it says, well, you go out to battle and you see this woman who you're attracted to, and okay, no problem. So whatever. The Torah says you can be with her. And he was struggling. How am I going to explain this to people who I'm trying to teach that you can't just give in to every desire? So he said that Friday night, he sat down with the boys and he said to them, listen, before we open the Chumash, what we're about to learn tonight is going to obligate us in the entirety of Torah and Mitzvos. And he said, why is that? He said, let's open our Chumash. And he showed them the Psukkim of the Eishes Yafas Torah. And he says, what do you see from this? Right? Rashi actually writes over there at the beginning of Kiseitze that the Torah, Lo Dibra Torah El Keneged Yetzahara, that the Torah wrote the story, the Parsha of the Eishes Yafas Torah, in response to the Yetzahara. What does that mean? Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky said, why does the Torah grant permission for these Jewish soldiers on the battlefield to be intimate with a non-Jewish woman? What is that? It must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the creator of the world, who knows your hearts and knows your desires and knows what's realistic and not realistic, God said, for this soldier who's under so much psychological, physical, emotional stress on the battlefield, it would be impossible for him to control his Yetzer Hara. So the Torah, Hashem, who knows the hearts of man, looks at a Jewish heart and says, listen, in this unique situation, I'm going to be matir asurim. I'm going to allow this prohibition in a specific way because it's not possible for you to control your Yetzer Hara. But says Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky, but what does that tell us about everything else? What does it tell us about everything else? What does it tell us about every time the Torah says you're not allowed to do it? And you say, it's too hard, I can't control myself. No. If it was truly too hard, what do you see from the Eishes Yafas Torah? If it's truly too hard, God doesn't ask it from you. Hashem wouldn't ask you to do something that you can't do. In this situation, the Torah has analyzed the emotional wherewithal of a person and said, he's allowed to be with this woman on the battlefield. Again, the halachos of how that happens, but the Torah looks at the person and says, I can't tell you not to do it in this case because it would be impossible to convince you otherwise. But that means when you have a strong taiva that the Torah doesn't permit, and you say, oh, I can't control myself, I can't, it's impossible, it's unreasonable what God is asking of me. It has to be that it is reasonable. Because if it really wasn't possible, Hashem wouldn't ask it of you. Hashem wouldn't ask it of you. Says the Rambam, coming back to the Nesiv HaShalom, one of the hardest things that the Torah asks of us is to have self-control when it comes to our relationships, our sexual desires. And yet, at the same time, we see that if the Torah asks it, if the Torah says, this is not permitted, a woman in a state of nida is not permitted, another man's wife is not permitted, this or that is not permitted, so then a Jew has to surrender to the will of Hashem and believe that if he digs deep, he's able to have success in this area. But the question that we have to ask, having learned this Rambam, where the Rambam acknowledges that it's so difficult, and yesterday the Orach Chaim HaKadosh acknowledged that it's so difficult, so we'll ask a simple question on God. Hashem, why did you make it so difficult? Why did you make it so hard? Right? You know, there's other areas that you ask of me. You ask me to take a lulav and esrog on Sukkos. Okay, it's not so hard. You ask me to eat Shalosh Shudas on Shabbos. Oh, to give an example from our world, right? Hashem, you ask us to eat Shalosh Shudas on Shabbos, so okay. And even if Erev Pesach is Shabbos and it gets a little tricky, okay, so we have different ways to work it out. It's a little tricky, it requires a little maneuvering, but no problem, we'll figure it out. But this is an area that people sometimes struggle with for years, for their entire life, to try to gain self-control in terms of controlling their mind and their eyes and their heart. So why is it so kasha? Hatam lama bara kadosh baruch hu betivios ha'adam shekiyum mitzvas kedoshim tiyu yekasha yoser mishar tzivoy ha'torah. What is the reason? Why did Hashem make it the nature of a person, the teva of a person, that fulfilling this mitzvah, these two words, kedoshim tiyu, why is it harder than everything else? The Rambam acknowledges it. It's comforting to know that there's nothing wrong with us if we find that, you know, this is a challenge for us. The Rambam admits, yeah, this is, it's part of being a human being. It's normal. So why is it so difficult? We can explain based on what we've been learning that inyan kedusha etzel am hanifchar haya yiudo v'tafkido ha'ikari b'chaim. Because, chaver, let me make it very simple. It says the Nesiv HaShalom, if this is where we're trying to get to, if in a certain sense the overarching goal of being a yid is being a person who lives with kedusha, if that's one of the places we're trying to reach, if that's the yiud, if that's our destination, if that's the tafkid, if that's the mission statement of a Jew, so chaver, you know very well that anything that's worthwhile in life is going to require effort. The real things in life, the purposeful things in life, the meaningful things in life, it takes hard work to get there. So if the goal of a Jew, as we've seen so many psukim, is what? Ki am kadosh ata, va'anche kodesh tiyun li, kadoshim tiyu, viskadish dem visam kadoshim. How many psukim in the Torah speak to this goal of what? A life of kedusha. So says the Nesiv HaShalom, we understand that it's hard, but it makes sense that it's hard. This is the ultimate challenge that we face as human beings. This is how we rise above our physicality. This is how we live holy lives. Ukmoshu hisharnu harbe pamim lios goy kadosh. As we see over and over, the Torah says, become the goy kadosh. Be anshe kodesh. Ki al yidei kiyum mitzvah zu. By fulfilling this mitzvah, by working on this inyan of kadoshim tiyo, heim zochim lahagia lakiyam mitzvah haikaris shabbatora lios dveikim ba'ashem. By fulfilling this mitzvah, one is zocha to reach sort of the goal. And like we said, Rashi told us in Parshas Kedoshim that what? Kedoshim tiyu was said to the entire Klal Yisrael. Daber kol Yisrael. The entire Jewish people heard Kedoshim tiyu. Because it's shayach, it's realistic for every Jew. It's the goal of every Jew. It's our collective mission statement. With the goal of being davuk to Hashem. To cling to Hashem. The Zohar says, let's pause for a second. The Zohar says that the 613 mitzvos of the Torah are really 613 etzos, pieces of advice. Such a funny way to describe mitzvos. Advice? It's not advice. Advice sounds, you know, kind of optional. Right? You ask someone, you know, what's your opinion on this? Is it good advice, right? Should should I do this or should I do that? What's your opinion, right? That's advice. You take advice from someone who you respect, someone you trust. But you're not chayev to do it. What do you mean mitzvos are advice? But the Zohar tells us the 613 mitzvos are all pieces of advice to achieve a singular goal. However, what is the singular goal? The singular goal is what he says here in two words, Dveikim Ba'Hashem, Dveikus Ba'Hashem. The goal of the life of a Jew is to be Davuk to Hashem. Open up the Shulchan Aruch. What's the first thing you'll see on page 1? Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. To live in the presence of Hashem, to be connected to Hashem. Uvo Tidbak, to cling to Hashem. So if you don't know how to attach yourself and to detach yourself from holy things, attaching yourself to holy things, detaching yourself from unholy things, so you can't attach yourself to Hashem. Part of the challenge of Kedoshim Tiyu is distance yourself from things you shouldn't be connected to give you the opportunity to what? To be connected to the right things. That's such an important part of being successful. Why is it sometimes that a person will go through different stages of life where they feel that this area of Kedusha is easier or more difficult? Why is that so? Why is it that someone told me the other week that they said, you know, when I was in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, I had so much success in Inyanei Kedusha, and now, you know, now that I'm back from Yeshiva, I find it so much more difficult. And the answer is because when that person was in Yeshiva, he had immersed himself so deeply in Torah, in a life of Torah and mitzvos, he was so positively connected that he just didn't struggle the same way with, you know, with these negative connections. So to the degree that a person is davuk ba'Hashem, clings to the right things, it'll make it that much easier for him to get away from the wrong things. Ve'im ki isa b'svar ma'kedoshim, shekol echad mi'Yisrael yesh lo tafkid v'yud mi'uchad. And even though we know the svarim tell us that every one of us has a personal mission statement, our personal chelek in Torah, the thing that makes me unique, right? Sha'alav l'takin ba'olamo, the particular mitzvah that is going to define your life, and that's why we're drawn to different things. Often you can define it in terms of one's connection to the Zman. If you ask someone, what's your favorite yontif? Oh, Chanukah, I love Chanukah. Someone else says, oh, Chanukah's good, but Purim is my thing. Another person says, I like Purim, Purim's geshmak, but Yom Kippur, I'm telling you, Yom Kippur, I'm mamash malach. I feel it so deeply. Another person says, I get it, of course I understand, Yom Kippur is great, but by the Pesach Seder, that's mamash when I soar. Each person's connected. Your neshama has different, is programmed differently, and every person has their chelek. Every person has their Zman that they feel connected to. Everyone has their mitzvah, which is their personal mission statement. So the Sfarim HaKadoshim tell us that every person has his mitzvah. Also, the Sifrei Chassidus tell us that every generation has its mitzvah. It's a fascinating thing. What is the mitzvah of a particular generation? If you look in the Noam Elimelech, in Parshas Noach, he says that in his time, the mitzvah of his generation was tzitzis. I don't know why he picked that. That's what he felt was the mitzvah that his door needed to focus on. Some tzaddikim say nowadays, the mitzvah of our generation is amunah. Others would say that the mitzvah of our generation, the Nesiv HaShalom himself writes this in one of his other svarim, that the mitzvah of our generation is to focus on chinuch, to focus on continuing to properly educate ourselves and our children, and our neighbors, and our friends, and our community. Okay. But what is the collective mission statement of the Jewish people? Not your personal mission statement, not your generation's mission statement. What is the mission statement of our people? And that is these two words. Hine mitzvas kedoshim tiyu nemra el kol adas b'nei Yisrael. When Hashem wanted to give a mission statement to the entire Jewish people, not for a particular time, but for all time, kind of the backdrop of everything that we're trying to achieve, it's these words, kedoshim tiyu. Dahainu shayud va'tafkid shel kol echad b'inyanu hamiyuchad toloi b'mitzvos hakedusha. Yes, you have your inyan miyuchad, you have your thing, you have your mitzvah, you have your chelek in Torah, you have your yom tov that you feel most connected to, right? But your entire backdrop of your personal mission statement has to be viewed against the backdrop of what? Against this backdrop of kedoshim tiyu. This is the overarching mission statement of the Jewish people. V'lachein ikar hisgabrus hayetzahara hu b'inyan zeh yoser mikol shar inyanei isurei Torah. And that's why the Yetzahara is so significant in his fight against us in this inyan. Yaakov Avinu fought against the Malach. Did you ever think, why didn't Avraham fight against the Malach? Why didn't Yitzchak fight against the Malach? So you'll say, because it was Saro Shel Esav, it was the Malach of Esav, and Yaakov's counterpart was his twin brother Esav, Right? So Yaakov fought against the ministering angel of Esav. But why did Yaakov fight the Malach? And why did the Malach, when he realized, I can't really defeat him, but if I'm going to injure him, I'm going to hit him where? He hit him below the belt. He injured him in his kaf yarech. He injured him in his thigh. The Maharal describes how the Yerech is a makom seis, it's a concealed place, right? It represents a very private area of one's life. Why did the Malach fight against Yaakov, and why did he hit him below the belt? It's a cheap shot, right? He saw that Yaakov was winning, and he took a cheap shot. What's that about? The answer is that Avram Avinu, as much as he's Avram Avinu, he's one of our Avos, but we're not called Bnei Avram, and we're not called Bnei Yitzchak. We're called Bnei Yaakov. Every one of us is called Bnei Yisrael. And therefore, collectively, Yaakov Avinu had to fight the Malach of Esav. He had to fight against Sarah Shel Esav. And we're bigger than the Malach. We're bigger than the Malach. But the Malach says, if I'm going to find a way to at least injure Yaakov, to try to damage Yaakov, it's this makom. It's in the makom hamila, right? It's in the thigh. It's in a hidden area, right? It's below the belt. That's why Sarah Shel Esav fought against Yaakov, and that's why he injured him there, because this is the collective goal of the Jewish people. And therefore, the Hiskabrus HaYetzahara, the reason, like the Rambam says, one of the hardest areas in the life of human beings is gaining self-control in this area, more so than all other Isurei Torah. V'afilu kasher zochel isgaber b'shar inyanei avodas Hashem. And therefore, a person could say, my davening is going well. My Gemara skills are improving. I've been giving a lot of tzedakah. I do chesed in my community. Adayin sarach lakof yitzro liesnaig b'kedusha. And yet a person still feels, but this area is something that keeps coming back, and I need to keep working on it. I need to stay focused on it. Because again, it's an area that for many, many people, not everyone in the same degree, obviously, but it's an area that, again, so much defines our life. Let's finish the paragraph, and then Yehuda, I'll take your comment. Umarav hu hamerchak haruchani ben Yehudi kadosh l'misha'enu b'snai b'kedusha. And what a massive difference, what a great divide there is between a Jew who operates with Kedusha and a Jew who doesn't operate with Kedusha. And Chevra, you know what the proof is? Havdalah. What do we say every Motzei Shabbos? In the bracha of Hamavdil, what do we say? Hamavdil ben kodesh l'chol, ben or l'choshech. So let's pause right there. If I asked you, light and darkness, right? How similar are they? Similar? They're not similar at all. They're complete opposites. Ah. So Hamavdil ben kodesh l'chol. Just like or and choshech are so far apart, they're worlds apart. So too kodesh and chol, a life of kedusha, versus a life of what? Of living regular, plain. A person who's not focused on Inyan Kedusha. It's the difference between light and darkness. It's as radically different as Bein Yisrael La'amim. The difference between a Jew and the nations of the world. Dahainu Kamosheish Hefresh Bein Or L'choshech. Just as there's such a massive divide between day and night, between light and darkness. Kein Yish Hevdel Bein Kodesh L'chol. U Bein Yisrael La'amim. Vahevdel Bein Chai Kodesh L'chai Chol. Who kmitzias acheres legamri. And the difference between a person who lives a life of sanctity and a person who just kind of accepts, I'm a human being, what do you want from me? I can't be bigger than my own physicality. It's a world of difference in the quality of one's relationship with Hashem, a relationship with oneself, and relationship to Torah and mitzvos. Okay, Yehuda, let's hear.
So the piece started by asking why specifically by Arayos do we have the hardest like job, I guess,
right?
And so the Ramchal in a bunch of areas, he talks about how one of the reasons that Hashem created the world was because it is the natural way of that which is good to want to bestow its good, right? Chokato lehetev, Hashem is good. And Hashem wants to give that good to His creation.
Okay.
And so, what the Ramchal then continues to say is that in order for us to get that good from Hashem, we need to earn it. Because as the Rambam always talks about, the best way to give tzedakah is to give someone a job, because no one wants to feel like they are being given handouts. What's called in the Sfarim as Nahama de Kisufa, I think, Rebbe, mm-hmm. Which means the bread of shame. Nobody wants their bread to be a handout to them. They want to earn it.
Right.
So in order for Hashem to actually give us Tov, we need to earn it. And the whole objective of this is as the Nesiv HaShalom, as Rebbe was saying, Dveikus BaHashem. And when you're Mistabik BaHashem, that's what this good is going to be. And so I just wanted to point out that when Bilam and Balak are trying to get the Jewish people, I heard this from Rav Amos Lubin, that the word that it uses to describe what happened with the Jews and Baal Peor in that situation is lehitzamed,
right,
which means to cling or to stick, which is a kind of a synonym to dveikus, but it isn't an exact synonym. And when it talks about how we stick to Hashem, it says Vatem Hadveikim BaHashem Chaim Kulchem Hayom.
Right.
And what Bilam and Balak were trying to do is, when they understood that they weren't able to curse us and to get rid of us completely, what Bilam told Balak was that the Jewish people have very good dveikus capabilities, and if we're able to divert that, then we can get Hashem angry at them. And the way that they went about that, we see they use the same Inyan. They use the Arayos, they use the Midianite women.
Right.
And that's what caused the Jewish people to stray and connect instead to Baal Peor.
Very good. Very good. It's all about connections. Yeah. It's all about, where do I choose to be connected? But you're very much on target. He's about to quote the Ramchal in a minute. That the goal is to be able to cling to Hashem. And to the degree that I cling to other things, right? If I attach myself, if I'm tzamud to other things, if I'm attached and glued to other things, So then I can't be properly attached to Hashem. Yeah. And it's the yesod. It's the foundation of our lives. So obviously, you know, the foundation of the building, even though it doesn't have the appearance of what's built on top, right? But the foundation is going to hold up the entire building. And that's exactly what this inyan is, the inyan kedusha. A private area that requires tremendous strength, but it allows the whole building to stand. Okay, Chaver, we got one more paragraph.
But aren't these distractions kind of, I mean, not kind of, they are being placed in front of us by Hashem?
For sure. For sure. So, and Hashem gave us the strength Hashem gave us the strength to overcome these things. But again, you have to, as Yehuda said, if you want to get the ultimate prize, so you got to work the hardest. You're not going to get dveikus by Hashem, which is the ultimate goal, unless you're prepared to fight for it. And that's exactly what this inyan is. Why do I have to fight so hard in this inyan? That's the Rambam's question, right? Or that's our question, right? The Rambam's acknowledging it's so hard. Our question is, so why did Hashem make it so hard? But if you want to have real deep, meaningful success and connection, so you have to work for it. You have to fight for it. I think that's the point here. But 100%, Hashem put the stumbling blocks in front of us. You know, there's a famous mashal of the Baal Shem Tov of a king who builds walls and the prince is trying to win the prize by getting over the walls, and the prince is able to overcome the walls because he knows his father's on the other side. Meaning all the other, you know, soldiers in the competition, they drop out and they gave up because they felt that it was too hard. But if you realize that, right, that Hashem is the king and we're the prince, and the walls are not really walls, as Yehuda is putting in the chat, it's all a perception of walls, we have to believe we can do it. And again, that's why I mentioned this idea from Yecheskel Abramsky. If we couldn't do it, Hashem would not ask us to do it. The Eishes Yafas Toar on the battlefield is too hard to ask the soldiers not to be with this woman. So therefore, Hashem says, okay, I can't ask you to do something that's impossible. So that means whatever else we look at in our life that seems impossible, it's not impossible. It may be very difficult. It may take tremendous effort. It may require stumbling and getting back up again. You know, we make a mistake. There's a famous letter from Rav Yitzhak Kuttner where he says, we look at certain great Torah personalities and we think they were always that way. We think the Chafetz Chaim never spoke Lashon Hara. I always get nervous when I share this idea from Rav Kuttner because it sounds like we're speaking Lashon Hara about the Chafetz Chaim, which is like the ultimate Lashon Hara, you know? But he says, like, the Chafetz Chaim, he also probably stumbled along the way to become the Chafetz Chaim. He also made mistakes, but he worked on his Shmiras HaLashon to such a degree that he became known as the Baal Shmiras HaLashon. He became the Chafetz Chaim. Mia Isha Chafetz Chaim, right? The person who knows Netzor Lashon Chamira. He worked on himself. So you read these article biographies of Tzadikim, of great Gedolim, and you say, like, wow, Rav Moshe Feinstein. Like, he didn't have any Nisyonos. He was just born Rav Moshe Feinstein. You know, the Baal Shem Tov was just born the Baal Shem Tov. He never had any struggles. He can't relate to what I go through. Right? Herschel Schachter Shlita, one of our great Rosh Yeshiva of our yeshiva, you know. Schachter is a different type of human being. I can't even put myself on the same category. He's from a different planet. And the answer is no. He's a human being just like us who worked hard on himself, who challenged himself to rise above and to actualize his greatness. And again, that's the avodah, each of us in our own way. To realize that whatever stumbling blocks Hashem is throwing in front of us, we can climb over them, or we can climb around them, or we could plow through them, and not to be intimidated by, again, this perception that it's too hard. Hashem doesn't ask things of us that are too hard. Okay, that's the klal, that's the rule. Okay, Chaver, let's see. Last paragraph. V'ikar gorem hagluyos shel am Yisrael heimachmas pegamim b'midas hakedusha. Here's a very sad truth. That the primary cause, the gorem, the cause of galus, the reason for exile, is primarily rooted in the fact that there's a pagam in kedusha. Because a pagam in kedusha is sometimes referred to in the Sfarim as a scattering energy. It's misguided energy. Right? When a person has creative powers, and a person has kochos hanefesh, and a person has drive and desire, and you take those things, and you waste them, or you spend them on cheap things, you give away that feeling, that desire to feel connected to something. You connect to something unholy instead of choosing to connect to something holy. So you're putting yourself into a state of spiritual exile. You're putting yourself into a state of emotional exile. And of course, that reflects in Klal Yisrael's reality. We go into a physical exile. Hashem takes away that point of connection. You're not connected to me, Hashem says. So then forget it. I'm taking away the Beis HaMikdash. I'm throwing you out of Eretz Yisrael. I'm scattering you around the world. You wanna go out to the world? So go out to the world, Hashem says. As the Arizal explains on the Pasuk, Ki ger yihye zar'acha. Right? That ger, like an exiled person, like a stranger. So will be zar'acha. Of course, zar'acha, in a delicate way, is referring to zera. It's talking about zera, when a person wastes their seed, which again is that creative energy, that potential of life. When a person causes it to go into exile, so then a person also goes into a state of emotional exile. He feels detached from himself and from God. Va'ge'ula tluya b'tikun ha'pegamim. But when a person reconnects to Hashem, a person, like Yehuda mentioned the pasuk, v'atem adveikim b'Hashem elokeichem, chayim kulchem ayom, when you're alive with proper connections, k'mo shemavakshim b'tfilas musaf b'yom tov, like we daven, v'karev pizureinu mibein agayim, Hashem, we want to gather in everything that we scattered, all of that wasted energy, all of that wasted potential. And it's not just talking about Shmiras HaBris. It's talking about any creative energies, right? Being connected to the wrong things. Spending too much time being connected to whatever it is, whether it's movies or sports, or whether it's connected to trying to make money, or whether it's connected to, I don't know, whatever's happening somewhere else in the world, whatever you're reading in, you know, a war that's taking place on the other side of the world. I'm not saying we shouldn't know about these things, but when a person becomes emotionally invested in that, that's a form of pagam habris. Because you have a bris, you have a covenant with Hashem. And if you spend too much time, you know, being connected to what's happening in, in Washington, D.C., so that's a pagam habris. That's a lack of connection to Hashem. So we daven v'karev pizureinu. Hashem, please, let's gather in all of that. Let's come back to our center point. Let's come back to our yesod. Let's get back to the place where we belong. That's our tefillah. We want to gather in that which is scattered amongst the nations of the world. V'avienu l'tzion irecha berina. We want to come back to Tzion. What exactly is Tzion? Tzion doesn't just mean the physical place, Israel. Yerushalayim and Tzion. Yerushalayim represents sort of the outer dimension of Yerushalayim. Tzion is a code word in Pnimiyas HaTorah for the inner essence of Eretz Yisrael. I want to come back to Tzion. I want to come back to Eretz Yisrael as a point of spiritual connection with Hashem. He writes here that Tzion is Gematria Yosef. Tzion is Gematria 156, which is the Gematria of Yosef. It's a famous Gematria. There's a lot of ways to explain that. But obviously Yosef, again, is Yosef HaTzadik. If you want to come to Tzion, then you have to strengthen yourself in the Inyan of Yosef. However, I want to share with you a little passage from a sefer called Paras HaKodesh. Paras HaKodesh by Rav Ara LaRoth. The Rebbe of Arla, Zecher Tzaddik V'Kodesh Levracha, a very heiliger Chassidish Rebbe, Toldos Aaron, for those who know the Toldos Aaron Chassidim. So he writes here in his Sefer Taras HaKodesh, in his Maimer Shmiras Einayim. He says, he quotes several psukim in the Navi that talk about the importance of protecting, of guarding one's eyes. And then he quotes here a pasuk that we actually say in, when we take out the Sefer Torah, or actually when we put away the Sefer Torah, I think. I'm trying to remember now. You look in the Siddur, I don't remember. Ayin ba'ay, it's the section, it's that paragraph that no one says. Where the Navi says in Yeshaya, Ayin ba'ayin yiru b'shuv Hashem tzion. Ayin ba'ayin, eye to eye, yiru, you'll see, they will see, b'shuv Hashem tzion. When Hashem comes back to tzion. Again, that means not just having Jerusalem, but it means having tzion. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina residing in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, Beis HaMikdash. So, Ayin ba'ayin yiru, an eye for an eye shall be seen, b'shuv Hashem Tzion. So he writes here, in the Taras HaKodesh, Ki mamish ayin ba'ayin, an eye for an eye. What does that mean? Dahainu, k'mo sheshomer einav, kocha yira b'shuv Hashem Tzion. To the degree that we refine our eyes, that we prepare our eyes, we'll be able to see when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes back. And that's what we daven over every day. Chevra, where do we daven this every day in Shemona Esrei? Think about it for a second. Who can pull it out? Yeah, Avi, go for it. That's right. V'sechazana einenu b'shuv chaletzion. Our eyes should be zochet to see. What does it mean, sechazana einenu? Our eyes should perceive your return to Tzion. Right? He writes here, halo pshita sheroam rak beinayim. Your eyes should see as opposed to what? Your elbow should see. The bottom of your foot should see. What do you mean, sechazana einenu? You don't need to say eyes. Of course eyes see. No, but the answer is, if you don't refine your eyes, Mashiach will come, the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and your eyes won't be prepared to appreciate it. Because to the degree that my eyes are prepared to receive holiness, to the same degree a person will be able to connect. But if my eyes, unfortunately, are damaged, something could be happening right in front of my face, and I won't even realize it. So that's what we say. That's that pasuk that we say, again, in the context of Kriyas HaTorah, when we take out the Torah, we put away the Torah. Ayin ba'ayin yiru b'shuv Hashem Tzion. To the degree that you prepare your eyes, you'll be zochet to see. And that's what we're davening. Think about it. When you daven mincha today, v'sachazana einenu b'shuv chaletzion means, Hashem, please help me to be careful with my shmiras einayim so that I'll be able to properly connect and see and appreciate everything that's happening when you come back to Tzion. That's the inyan of Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef is gematria Tzion. I want to be zocha to be able to see you, Hashem, in the restoration of Eretz Yisrael, of Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh. Uvitosefes biyor yesh lomar. And to say it just one step further, we can explain. Ha'inyin sha'agu'ula tluya b'tikun midas yesod. Why is it that redemption is so much dependent upon that midah of Yosef HaTzadik, that ability to have self-control in the inyan of bris milah, in the inyan of yesod? Apima de'isa b'reish sefer HaKadosh Mesilas Yesharim, as was mentioned earlier. The Ramchal, at the beginning of the Mesilas Yesharim, Shoranu Chazal teach us, Ki Adam lo nivra ela lis'aneg al Hashem. Hashem wants us to be able to enjoy our connection to Him. V'lehanos me'noam ziv shchinaso. And to get hana, to benefit from the noam ziv shchinaso, from the pleasant experience of absorbing the radiance of Hashem, the shchina, whatever that means. But I want to be connected to it. If I want to connect to it, then I have to prepare myself to connect to it. V'hine midas yesod, hi midas hachuka. Yesod, again, is that place of desire. Chuka means longing, desire. I want to be connected. But again, if I can't control myself from connecting to stupid, you know, shallow things, then I can't be connected to real and deep things. Shetachlisa b'kedusha hachuka elokis. I want to be longing for Hashem. Le'anos miziv shchinaso, to benefit from the light of Hashem's radiance of the shchina. Bechinas oz tis'aneg al Hashem. Right? That hope, that longing to get my own egg, to get my pleasure from Hashem. V'hu sod ha-ge'ula. And chaver, this is what ge'ula is about. Ki amida hazos tavo oz el tachlisa. The goal of redemption is to get to a point where all those stumbling blocks that Jack mentioned that are thrown in front of us, all the distractions, they'll all be gone and I can just cling to Hashem and just be one with my Creator. And now, Chever, we understand why not only is it so hard, but it's especially hard in our times. We live in a world which I would say, I think you could say, is more perverse in matters of sexuality than ever before. I think you could say such a thing. I don't know for sure. Maybe everyone thinks that they're living in the hardest times, but I think the way the world operates today, I think the notion of what intimacy is and what relationships are has become more warped than ever. And therefore he says, in the ikvus of the Mashiach, in the period before Mashiach's arrival, the ikvus of the Mashiach means the footsteps leading to Mashiach, tia ikar hisgabrus kochos hasitra'acha bipigamim halalu. Why is it that there's so many ways, unfortunately, for a person to get himself into trouble nowadays? There's so many points of access to get involved with, you know, all sorts of unholy things in the world. Why is it so strong in our times? The answer is because we're so close to the end of days. As Chazal explained in the Gemara in Sukkah, she'ikr hisgabris heyetzahara hu al tamide chachamim, she'kol agadol michavero yitzor gadol heymenu. The Gemara says, the bigger a person you are, the bigger yetzahara is. However, we have to believe we're a big generation. The reason we have a big nisayon in this area is because we have big potential. We mamash have big potential. And therefore, as we make our way through the final steps, the ikvas of the Mashiach, to bring Mashiach's arrival, we're being tested in this area in a strong way. Hakol mitam shesod ha-geula tluya b'midazu. Because redemption is dependent upon this inyan. Ukamo geula saklal, and just like our collective redemption depends on it, so too our personal success. Kein gam geula saprat tluya b'zeh. Kamosha anu mispal and betfilas, Rabon ha'olam and belel Shabbos Kodesh. There's a beautiful tefillah. I imagine that most of us don't say it. But right after Eishes Chayil in your bencher, in your sitter, there's a beautiful tefillah. Ribon ha'olamim, thanking Hashem for another week of life, thanking Hashem for another Shabbos Kodesh, asking for Hashem to continue to bestow His bracha upon you. And you say this tefillah before Kiddush on Friday night. And what does it say in the tefillah? Sheterachameini od begalusi lega'aleini. Hashem, have rachmanis on me while I'm still in galus. Have rachmanis to want to redeem me. Ula orer libi lavasecha, to awaken my heart to your love. Hashem, help me to rise above my personal, my personal demons. Kasher Yehudi margish avaso uchukaso lakadosh baruch hu, hareze bechinas yetzia migalus. When a Jew feels properly connected to Hashem, that is rising above galus on a personal level, even if Mashiach's not here. She'oz metakin hamida b'sharsha u'mekora. Because he's fixing his essence. He's fixing his yesod. I want to end with another piece of Yeshivas Shalom that he has in several places. Just want to introduce you to this idea for two more minutes. And that is, and he's alluding to it here, that's why I want to mention it. He has it in many places. He has it in his writings in Parshas Balak. He has it in his writings on Chumash in Parshas Matos. He says that at every critical period of Jewish history, there are two main struggles. And you may know this from studying the Chumash. You may know this from your own life. Whenever you're on the threshold of crossing over to the next level, there's two areas that a person struggles in. What are they? Emuna and Kedusha. And they're very, very deeply connected. He says that when the Jewish people were coming out of Mitzrayim, on their way to Kabbalah Satorah, a Malik attacked them. When the Jewish people were coming into Eretz Yisrael, again, the same struggle, Emuna and Kedusha. And he writes here in the Nesivah Shalom in Parshas Matos on page 170 that on our way to Mashiach, we're going to have two main issues, Emuna and Kedusha. Why is this the main thing that every 2-minute clip on Meaningful Minute is talking about? It's talking about strengthening your Emuna. It's talking about controlling one's Yetzer Hara. These are the Inyan. This is the Inyan of our times. Emuna and Kedusha. And he writes here so beautifully, corresponding to these two struggles, we have two Mashiachs. However, we know that there's not just one Mashiach. There's Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben Yosef represents what we're talking about here, Kedusha. Yosef, Gematria Tzion, right? The ability to be connected to a Kadosh Baruch Hu in a proper way, to have Shmiras HaBris, Shmiras Einayim, Inyanei Kedusha, Yesod. What is David HaMelech? If Yosef is Tzion, what is David? David is Yerushalayim. What is David HaMelech? David HaMelech says about himself, Va'ani Tfila. There's no greater expression of one's emunah than to daven to Hashem. To say, I can't do anything on my own, I have to talk to you. Because you're real, because I believe in you. So the two struggles that we face at every critical point in history, emunah and Kedusha, are captured in these two personalities of Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. And lastly, however, this is why the Gemara says in Maseches Makos, that if you had to sum up the entire Torah in one pasuk, if you had to capture kol haTorah kula in one pasuk, it's what the Navi Habakkuk says, "Vitzadik b'emunaso yichya," which everyone looks at that Gemara and everyone says, "Oh, emuna!" Right? If it all comes down to one thing, it comes down to faith, it comes down to emuna. But what does the Navi say? "Vitzadik b'emunaso yichya." If you have the inyan of tzadik of Yosef haTzadik, and you have the inyan of emuna of David HaMelech, then yichya, then you'll zocha to live. Your life will be a purposeful life. Your connections will be deep and real. You'll rise above your personal gullus, and hopefully we'll be zocha collectively to see the emergence from gullus to geula. But it's mamish this inyan, and again that's why it's so real in our world today. It's why it's such a nisayon in our world today. It's so pervasive in our life. There's so many ways that a person can get caught up in the filth of this inyan of this world. And not understand that intimacy is a holy thing, that pru'ervu is the first mitzvah of the Torah, that taiva and chukka and desire and longing and connection and all these words that we're using can be used in the most perverse way, but can also be used in the most holy way. V'atem advekim v'Hashem chayim kul chamayom. You want to be alive? Be davuk to Hashem. 613 pieces of advice, the Zohar says, to get to one goal, which is to be properly connected. Okay? So that's why, in answering the question, why did Hashem make it so hard? Why is this such a real thing in our life? The answer is because if you wanna have a real, deep, meaningful life, it's this. It comes down to this. Okay? All right.